This time I'll call the Finance Budget Hearing Meeting to order. Roll call, please.
John Jackson.
Here.
Deborah Kraft.
Here.
Kevin Greenfield.
Here.
Jim Gresham.
Here.
Greg Mattingly.
Here.
Elena Buckner.
So it's not really the...
Laura Zimmerman.
Here.
Elena Buckner.
Yeah.
6 of 7, quorum present.
Thank you. I'd entertain a motion on the prior meeting minutes for budget hearing number 3.
So moved. Second.
Have a motion to approve the minutes of the prior meeting. The second. Roll call, please.
John Jackson.
Aye.
Deborah Kraft.
Aye.
Kevin Greenfield.
Aye.
Jim Gresham.
Aye.
Greg Mattingly.
Aye.
Elena Buckner. Laura Zimmerman.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you. Well, Veterans Assistance, we'll start with the budgets, please.
Okay. The only two lines I actually upped this year, the telephone expense actually was more than what we were, the budget needed, or it was less than what the budget needed in previous years. And I did up our IT services for our website expenses for next year. Everything else I actually cut.
The only question I had was on the office manager staff. Did you just do away with that, or
the office? Well, I don't have an office manager right now. Until he gets to be a VSO, he'll be just administrative. It kind of got messed up when we started him. That's why they left that on there. But that will disappear next year.
Okay. So there is some residual left. You've got it for $4,800.
Correct. That's where they started paying him as the office manager.
Any discussion? Entertain a motion then.
I move to approve it.
In a second. I have a motion to approve the Veterans Assistance in a second. Roll call, please.
John Jackson.
Aye.
Deborah Kraft.
Aye.
Kevin Greenfield. Jim Gresham.
Aye.
Greg Mattingly.
Aye.
Laura Zimmerman.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Jeannie, this is Helena.
Would you like to vote on that?
Yes, ma'am. Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you. Michael, coroner, please.
Evening, folks. This budget that you have before you is pretty much the same budget as last year's. The only difference is in the deputy coroner and administrative assistant lines, where the administrative assistant is contractually, as a union employee, granted a $700 raise. Traditionally in our office, I've always given the deputy coroners whatever the union employees get to kind of keep the peace. Now, the $700 increase is contractual, so I think the county is on the hook for that. At your pleasure, I offer up the other $1,400. That's be up to the board's discretion as to whether or not you think that's legitimate. Beyond that, everything else remains the same. As you know, I try to work within the budget as presented as closely as possible. I don't think there's a whole lot of excessive weight in this budget here. I think we're pretty much bare bones.
Any discussion? I agree.
I'm going to move to approve it, Mike. It's all good.
Yeah.
I'll second.
I have a motion to approve the coroner's budget in a second. Roll call, please.
John Jackson.
Aye.
Deborah Kraft.
Aye.
Kevin Greenfield.
What about the, are the, are all the raises included in that? Was that the agreement or I didn't understand?
I think so, that. Yes.
I mean, I'm okay with it either way, but.
Yeah.
That's how, okay. His budget? Yes.
Aye.
Jim Gresham.
Aye.
Greg Mattingly.
Aye.
Helena Buckner.
Aye.
Laura Zimmerman.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you. Thank you, Michael.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. Workforce investment, Rocky.
For those of you who don't know me, my name is Rocky Wilkerson, and I'm the Executive Director of Workforce Investment Solutions. And just a little bit of information, Workforce Investment Solutions is a federal employment training agency, and Macon County is our fiscal agent. Workforce has had a few challenges this year due to COVID. The front doors have been locked since March, so it's been a little different. I've prepared a budget summary from December 2020 through November 2021. So I'll just walk you through this. The workforce allocation for 20 was $1,705,856, combined with our carry forward dollars for 19 of $555,769. That was an increase this year of $388,694, which is good. Good to bring it in. Then I went after some special grants. We have Richland Workforce Consortium grant of $65,000. We did not receive an incentive grant this year. We got an opioid grant for $1,322,925. We had a business layoff aversion grant for $32,524. And just recently, a community foundation grant for $98,500. We had a carryover of $30,000 for the Put Illinois to Work program. That totals up to $3,679,550.
Rocky, that carryover, is that, I mean, that, how long can that be carried over?
So that was there before I came.
Okay.
And it just keeps getting carried over.
That's what,
okay. I don't know a lot about the Put Illinois to Work program, but it was already there and.
Okay.
We've just been carrying it forward ever since.
Because sometimes, you know, you can't do that.
Right. It so runs out.
Yeah.
I agree.
Okay. Thank you.
Uh-huh. And for the expenditures, December, we had Dana Miller retire. She was 25 years plus. And then in January, Karen Allen retired. She was 20 years plus. So we've been through some... kind of some rough waters with that. March brought on COVID, so I lost two people and then COVID, so I had to rearrange some things. I've made some adjustments, but I think we're good now. So the personnel wages for 11 full-time and one part-time staff. I've got 7 part-time consortium instructors at the library for the Richland grant, so that's about $103,533. My facility expenses, they're at on Pershing Road include the telephone, rent, computer repair, equipment, internet access, utilities, copier, repair, staff travel, accident policy. We were really pleased to have a partnership with the county. We're sharing Nathan as our IT person, and he has been a great asset to the workforce. He checks in with us 2 or 3 times a week, and I can't say enough about that partnership. It's been really good. And then for the direct line expenses, that includes our vocational classes such as the RN program, the welding program, buying specific classes for training through the college, on-the-job training, which is giving paying their wages while they're learning the job. The work experience is for people that have never had a job and they're getting paid to learn the job. transportation, childcare, reimbursement, that's all part of this. That's why we're able to help people become successful, because we can provide those services, incumbent worker, youth contracts, and workman's compensation. So as a summary, that equals out to the $3,679,550. So I also prepared a year-end review. It highlights some specific things. I can walk through it, or you can take it and read it on your own. So I love to talk about it if you want. There's a couple of things I could go with this. I'll just a couple highlights would be this page right here that talks about the graph. I can go on and on.
Do I get a second?
I'll second it.
Okay.
I have a motion to approve workforce investment budget and a second.
Talk about it. You go ahead.
Roll call, please.
Okay.
Aye.
Deborah Kraft.
Aye.
Kevin Greenfield.
Aye.
Jim Gresham.
Aye.
Greg Mattingly.
Aye.
Helena Buckner.
Aye.
Laura Zimmerman.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you, Rocky. Good job.
Hey, you're welcome. I'll just take my success stories with me.
Thanks, Kevin. Public defender, David.
I think we've won a couple of trials this year. My budget is slightly less than last year's budget. The only increase line we have has been in, actually, I hate to say it, my salary, but that was statutorily mandated. Everything else I've either the same or tried to reduce the budget down. I'm about a little bit, about 3% cut from last year, but I've got, you know, my salary is basically almost 90% of salaries. We were able to cut some of the salaries down a little bit by $5,000. A lot of our expenses I've tried to cut down, and based upon our experience now that I have with what we're actually spending, we've cut down in telephone, postage. The other expenditure line is the biggest cut down, and what happened was we got approved for two assistants that we're going to hire, not new assistants, but two contract positions. We have not filled those positions yet because of COVID, and we're cutting down. We're only going to try to fill one of those positions now. And those people are going to be used with some of the more serious crimes. The note of the serious crimes, what we're facing, we're having a backlog because the trials we're only doing now are only one or two a month, and they're very serious crimes. And as we've got a backlog of people that we have in jail waiting for trials. It's the serious crimes of the class ones, the class X, the murder cases, that a lot of times they're going to be going to trial. And so we've also got a big backlog of people that are out of custody that we still are going to have trials that we're going to have to do whenever things, for lack of a better term, loosen back up and get back to normal. But at this point in time, we're not going to fill both of the contract people. We're only going to fill one. And we can do that now because we're not doing the huge volume of trials. But as you've seen in the newspaper, we do have an increase in violent crime and gun crime, and we all take that very seriously, but it puts added pressure on our office for trying to get those types of cases handled. We are cutting and trying to do the best we can, but we don't have that much to cut. My expenses are 10% of what overall my expenses, as far as, you know, services and paper and telephone and all of that, those items are only about 10% of what my actual budget is. The rest of it is tied up in salaries. This year we will have, according to my estimate where we're at now, we'll have about 1,700 felonies filed. That's a little bit down from last year, and I think it's because of COVID. Our JA filings that are going to happen are going to be in the 300 range, and it's going to be a little bit down. but the seriousness of the crimes that we're now going to have coming in are going to be offsetting any savings we'd have with the amount of lesser amount of filings and felony cases and those types of things.
Any discussion? Jim, did you want to clarify the other expenditures or not?
The other expenditures are basically our contract type things. There are the contract employees, additional one that we're going to hire, plus we also, that's what we pay out for our Westlaw and our CLEAR accounts. Those are contracts that we have to provide legal research and help with the investigation process of trying to find people and things like that.
Our insider gave us some insight, so you know.
Didn't mean to answer your question.
That's all right. I forgot the legal research component. I answered it.
Those are running a little bit over $1,000 a month now.
Yeah. That's just a big number to being other. So I would suggest maybe next year, you know, break it out some as best you can. Yeah.
I make a motion to approve.
Second.
Have a motion to defend approve the public defender's budget. And a second. Roll call, please.
John Jackson.
Aye.
Deborah Kraft.
Aye.
Kevin Greenfield.
Aye.
Jim Gresham.
Aye.
Greg Mattingly.
Aye.
Helena Buckner.
Aye.
Laura Zimmerman.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thanks, Dave.
Thank you. Mental health. Your sidekick's not going to help you? She's not going to present?
Depends on what the questions are.
I'm here for support.
Hi, Tim.
Good evening. How are you?
Good.
All right. Thanks for having us. I keep counting down the years as we go. This is year three for me doing this. And I suppose I'll get to a couple highlights. I know you got like 45 minutes for me to fill. Is that right? No? Okay.
Yeah.
We'll cut it short. As you know, the county board doesn't approve our budget per se, but we do have to get board approval for our levy extension. And we're going to be requesting extension of the same amount we requested last year. And I'll get to a specific request in a second, but I do want to point out as it relates to that. Our budget this year will be is $4.4 million in revenues and expenses, so it balances. We were able to reduce our operating expenses by about a half a percentage point. So if you look at ours now, it'll be about 8.06%. The average mental health board in the state of Illinois is about 13%. So we're grateful that we're able to do that. Part of the way we do that is these additional contracts we've gotten with the state, these grants that we have, helps reduce our operational costs for the 708 board, which is helpful. Some highlights, something that I want to point out that I think are important for the community. Our budget did increase. If we look at, and I mentioned last year, we were able to keep the juvenile redeploy program in Macon County. We think that's an important set of services for this community, given the challenges it's having with juvenile crime. Prior to the year ending, the first year we were able to get that, the budget in that program actually increased by another $47,000 before the end of that fiscal year. And then this year, as we started the fiscal year, that $4.4 million doesn't include a notification recently that they've already increased it $110,000. So we've gone from the first year $367,000 contract to now $663,000. The state is investing in these programs across the state. They're interested in seeing additional services and processes put in place to make it more effective. So we're excited about that. Something else I think we're really proud of, I had been approached by a social worker, Tara Euless, who's she started a CISM program, which is a critical incident stress management team in Macon County. We now fit them in with our mental health disaster response team at the mental health board. And she had approached me because she had initiated a therapist position working out of the Decatur Police Department. And we were able to fund that for this last fiscal year. We're going to continue that this year. Having that person there, it took quite a bit of time for her to gain the trust of the officers, but it has turned out to be what appears to be very successful. And we're hoping to see that expand across law enforcement in this county and with first responders in general. What our law enforcement professionals encounter on a daily basis and all the time can be very stressful, can be very traumatic, and as well as EMTs and firefighters. So I recently saw there's a commercial on TV right now with a police officer who'd been shot in the line of duty who's paraplegic, who talks about the importance of mental health services being available to law enforcement. So this is a area that we hope to see more acceptance amongst the law enforcement professionals and utilization of services so that we can help to deal with the stressors involved with that difficult and important job. So we're excited about that. I can't not mention it because Rocky mentioned this as well, but with COVID, it's been an unusual year, this previous year. And one of the things that we wanted to do as a mental health board with all the contracts we had with agencies was to be as flexible as we could in helping them to expend their contract dollars. Business was not as usual for any of those providers, doing things remotely, trying to reach their clients and provide mental health, substance use, and developmental disability services in different means. We were very flexible in helping them figure out ways that they could do that. The importance of that and what the state was doing through DHS was saying, look, when we get through this, at some point, we're going to get back to business as usual, and you've got to have a workforce in place that's going to be able to handle that. So it's important that these agencies not lose the revenue, have to lay the staff off, and then all of a sudden, when the floodgates open, not have people there to provide the services. So we're pleased that we're able to do that. With that, we're specifically requesting that the Finance Committee recommend to the County Board approval of our levy extension at $2,662,063. This is the same amount we requested last year, and we are at the max levy of 1.5 mils. The dollar amount's actually a little higher than we anticipate we'll get, but if we don't ask for a higher amount in the dollar amount, and should you collect more revenues than we would have expected, we wouldn't gain that. We'd be limited to the specific amount we requested. So, but it is the same as last year's request.
I move to approve.
Second.
I have a motion to approve and move on the Mental Health Board budget as presented. And a second. Roll call, please.
John Jackson.
Aye.
Deborah Kraft.
Aye.
Kevin Greenfield.
Aye.
Jim Gresham.
Aye.
Rick Madden.
Aye.
Melina Buckner.
Aye.
Laura Zimmerman.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Very good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Citizens' remarks. The old business? New business? County jail? Kevin, you want to present that or you want me to? Oh, I'm sorry.
Nope, you're fine. Introduce myself, since some of you may not have seen me. Lieutenant Jamie Belcher, I'm the jail administrator for the Macon County Jail. This is my first time doing this, so if I mess something up, I apologize. Macon County Board Resolution approving an agreement for inmate health services at the Macon County Jail. Whereas it is in the best interest of Macon County to contract medical and mental health services for inmates in the Macon County Jail, and whereas the Macon County Sheriff and Quality Correctional Health Care Incorporated have reached an agreement whereby Quality Correctional Health Care Incorporated shall provide health care and health care management services on behalf of the Macon County Sheriff's Office to the inmates, detainees of the Macon County Jail, and whereas the parties have agreed to the terms and conditions in the draft attached contract that I've provided, whereas Quality Correctional Health Care shall be paid by the Sheriff and County Board the estimated sum of $648,240 per year for professional services, in addition to a 15% administrative fee rendered as per the agreement. Whereas the terms and conditions in the contract were discussed and approved by, I guess I shouldn't have read that far down. Any questions?
Go ahead, Jim.
Yes. I just, this afternoon, I had a chance to just glance through this. So 640, somewhere in there, it says 703. And then at the 15%, is the 15% on top, is that?
The 648 is the estimated cost that they believe it should cost to do all the health services. What they will do is add 15% onto that amount to get the grand total. What they can't guarantee is, number one, if the cost for inmate health care will go up or down throughout the year. This is their estimation on what it will cost. This company does stuff a little bit different because what they will do each month when they present us with their bill for services rendered, they will provide us with a detailed list of and receipts for everything, every medicine that was provided, every x-ray that was done, so on and so forth for each of the inmates that required some type of medical care. Some months it'll be higher because our inmate population is higher, and some months it's going to be lower. Where traditionally companies come in and they just give you a dollar amount that you're expected to cover, which is traditionally higher from what I'm understanding than what the true cost should actually be. Because traditionally on those companies, when they go above, they set a cap on how much they go above. And if they reach that cap, then they start charging the county for all that other stuff that we would go above that amount that they put in their proposals.
But does this one not include something like that? If it exceeds this amount, that they can bill the county?
If it exceeds that amount, they said that they will bill a county. However, they will not charge that 15% administration fee on top of that. So basically they're saying that 648 is what it's going to cost. If stuff does go above, then we owe them money. But if cost at the end of the 12 months is below what their estimated price is, then we get money back. And they have had correctional institutions that they provided these services for before, where their initial first year contract was actually estimated higher than what the actual services cost. So I think one correctional institution they provided services for, they said they returned $65,000 back to that government agency.
Jamie, the 680 or whatever,
648. Yeah.
Yep.
Does that include federal prisoners?
The federal prisoners we get paid for. The U.S. Marshal Service directly pays for those inmates. This company will provide medical services to those, but as far as the pills, the different types of x-rays and doctor visits and whatever else, that is getting paid for, from my understanding, directly from the federal government. We don't actually pay that money.
Okay, so the 600,000 or how many inmates is that based on? Do you know, basically?
We provided them in the RFP with an estimation of 300 inmates. What they wrote their proposal up for was 315. And from what I'm understanding, they do it just a little bit higher. That way it gives us a little more wiggle room with the finances as far as what they're estimating is going to cost versus what it actually truly costs. And also with this this company itself, they do not do per diems, where traditional companies will come in and charge you a per diem if you go above what our base was, 300. What this one's presented on is 315. If we go above those numbers for any period of time, then the other companies were coming in and charging us 41 cents per day per inmate, and however their math was worked out, but it was 41 cents per inmate times 91. So the cost was escalating just on their per diem cost, where this company doesn't provide a per diem, doesn't do the per diems. They understand that jail populations go up and go down, so.
Is there any other county in Illinois that uses this?
Unfortunately, I'm not at liberty to discuss the one other county that's in this state that's going to them. due to the current contract talks with them and the current facility that they are there with.
Okay.
But there is going to be one. Typically, actually, this company is based out of Alabama, and they're moving their way north to get a chunk of Illinois. They want Illinois. They're down in Tennessee and Kentucky.
That's scary.
As close as
everybody wants us.
That's as far as they've gotten north. They're wanting to break into Illinois and get provide their services up here. When we put out the RFP, I put it out to eight or nine different healthcare providers, and we had a total of two that responded.
Really?
Yes.
Did they say why they didn't respond?
There's not many correctional healthcare based companies any longer. And then you start looking at the places like we previously had. We currently have Crossing Healthcare, and we've previously had St. Mary's, DMH. They're not 100% focused on correctional healthcare, where these companies are focused on that. So there's a very limited number throughout the whole United States that actually provide this service. Some places aren't licensed in the state of Illinois to do the business as well, so they really don't want to expand without getting the license. So,
Mr. Gresham?
The effective date would be October 5th. We were given contractual notice from Crossing Healthcare that they were leaving the facility and not going to renew their contract. So we had a quick turnaround time to get Crossing or get our bids out or request for proposals out, and get them back, research them, and then get them presented in front of you guys.
Does this allow for a medical person on staff? How often?
The plan that we're wanting to go with is a 24/7 coverage. Where currently we have what's called 160-hour coverage up in the jail. This would provide us 24-hour-a-day, 7-day coverage with either a registered nurse or licensed practical nurse in the facility. So we constantly have somebody up there in the event. On the back shifts right now, we have correctional officers speaking with inmates who have some type of medical issue or claiming to have a medical issue. They're not trained, nor are they experienced to be able to identify what could be or what can't be. So then we rely on making a phone call to the provider. The provider then, over the phone, decides whether this individual needs to go to a hospital or does not need to go to a hospital. With the trained individuals up in the jail during all those shifts, then we're hoping to catch something before it becomes catastrophic with somebody either being seriously injured or ultimately die up in the facility. With this company as well, they are very flexible with their plans. They offered us three different plans. One was 162 hours of coverage, what we currently have now. They had a middle ground, 172 hours, which is a 24/7. And then they had an additional one, 208 hours, which was even more coverage for the 24/7. And they said 3 months down the road, if you guys decide that you don't want the 24/7 coverage in this middle plan, then you can bump down to 160 hours. And 3 months later, if you decide, oh, we really need that 208-hour coverage, you can bump all the way up to 208. So they're flexible on how we do this. After the first year, if you know things shake out that one way or the other, then we can be flexible. They can be flexible on their different plans that we can move to.
Any further discussion?
I know you didn't have much time.
Yeah. That's why I think the resolution you guys may have got, there might be a name missing in between where we reached an agreement to, but I apologize for that.
I move to approve it.
Second.
I have a motion to approve and a second. Roll call, please.
John Jackson.
Aye.
Deborah Kraft.
Aye.
Gresham.
Aye.
Greg Mattingly.
Aye.
Helena Buckner.
Aye.
Laura Zimmerman.
Aye.
Motion carried.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
We'll need a closed session. Next meeting will be Tuesday, September 22nd, budget hearing number 5, sheriff, jail, courtroom security, emergency management, circuit clerk, circuit court, health department, state's attorney's office. Entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Meeting adjourned.
Somebody that you probably deal with.
Thanks, Jeannie.
You're welcome. Thank you so much. I mean, she's in a bed.